45. I'm going to begin reading with verse 5 and just read a couple of verses here. I love when God talks like God. He says, beginning with verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your grace upon us. And we come to you this morning asking you first that you would bless the offering, all those that give today for the purpose and the work of God. I ask you that you would bless the individuals and those families. Let your goodness shine upon them in such a way that they know that the hand of God is upon their life. Father, I ask you to use me this morning to make a certain sound. Lord, to educate us as a people that we might look back upon Israel of old and that we might see the current missteps that we're involved in. Father, use me today. Speak plainly to your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Over and over in the Old Testament, you find God declaring, there's no other God except me. That's what he's saying when he says, I am he, I am the Lord, and there is no other. What he's saying is, there is no other God. Never has been. Now, there are demon spirits that parade themselves as being gods to capture the illicit worship of people that don't know any better. But within Christianity, we are to understand there is but one God, one creator, and there's no other God other than him. I had met a gentleman this week that he told me that he was a Christian, and we began to talk a little bit, and he told me he was very excited. His grown daughter, she's a grown woman, but she had just been baptized in the Christian church 2 or 3 weeks prior, and he's very excited about it. And then he went on to explain to me that she was married to a Muslim man, and that she was in the process of getting engaged in Islam and become a woman of the cloth, whatever that means. And I didn't know the gentleman, and so I didn't feel that I had gained his trust to the degree that I could tell him what you're doing is absolutely wrong and upside down. But it grieved my heart as I walked away from him, because Christianity has become so diluted. Christianity has become so absent of theology that we don't any longer know what we're doing. We have seen over the past 2 decades the bumper sticker, and sometimes it's open advertisement, coexist. Have you seen that? And they have all the symbols of the major religions of the world. And the idea is that we should all coexist. We should make an effort to coexist. Well, my friend, we already coexist. We're on the same planet. There's no effort that needs to be made. But we as Christians must understand that we cannot blend Christianity with any other religion, or you no longer have Christianity. We have any number of modern pastors that have opened up this sacred stage to Islamic imams that will come in and share the supposed intelligence and knowledge of Islam with God's people. And that is like Elijah asking the prophets of Baal to come and share with the children of Israel. It's absolutely absurd. But we've been over and over inundated with this. And it has impacted us because of our absence of honest theology. It has impacted us, and we feel guilty when someone calls us a name. You're homophobic. It's true, I am. I have no problem with that at all. Well, you're a Christian nationalist. I don't really know what that means, but I'm cool with it. I love Jesus Christ, And he told me to come out from amongst them and separate myself. He told me he is the Lord, and besides him, there is none other. And we've gotten ourselves in trouble, saints. We've gotten ourselves in trouble because we don't know God's heart, and we don't know the history of Israel. Because we're doing the exact same thing Israel of old has done, and it is reaping the exact same rewards. Sometimes we read it in our Bibles, if we read our Bibles, and we don't realize that God allowed the Babylonian nation to come into Israel, put them in chains, and lead them off to another land. Because they were constantly trying to mix their religion with other religions of the heathen nations around them, and it's exactly what we're doing now. Now, let me say this before, this is my disclaimer. Every person, no matter what religion they are, no matter what their sexual preference is, they deserve love and respect because they are made in the image of God no matter who they are. And just as I, for example, from a young age, 12 or 13, began to experiment and live a life of drugs, until finally at 28, I was bound by drugs. There are many people that are exposed to other sins, be it religion or sexual sins, and they grow up and they're bound, but yet they have a soul inside of them, and God wants that soul. And so my responsibility, your responsibility, is to make sure that we're not mean-spirited. How many can get mean-spirited? We're not to be mean-spirited and call them names back when they call us names, but rather we're to understand that they are in bondage. They are in darkness. We're the ones in the light. We're the ones that can see. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, we have to build trust and pull them into Christianity. But we are at the same time not to mingle Christianity with whatever religion or situation that they're in. If you'll just go back two chapters in Isaiah, and you hear the Lord pleading with Israel of old, pleading. Beginning with verse 10 of the 43rd chapter, the Lord says, "You are my witnesses, saith God." Now understand the emphasis. He is saying, "You are my witnesses." God is saying to Christianity, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." When you have real Bible Christianity, you don't have to look anywhere else. Listen, there's no other religion in the world that has healing, that has deliverance, that has salvation. No other religion has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No other religion even has the Holy Ghost. He says, "I am he." And what God has provided must be enough for his people. And woe unto the Christian that feels that Christianity is not enough. It lets me know one of two things. Either you don't know him, or you don't know what he said. One of the two. "Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Now get this. God is infinite. He's always been. He always will be. And so he said, within eternity, there's no God before me. Nothing's coming after me. If you're looking for that, you're looking for the wrong thing. Amen. It's Jesus or nothing. You know, that's what we as Christians have to understand. It's Jesus or hell. There's no gradients. There's nothing else between. It's black and white. But we as human beings, we like to create a spectrum of gradient grays. That we start with black and we go across the gradient of grays. And one day we may hit the white, but we live in this gray area where nothing is really defined. And so when somebody comes and devises this mental trick saying we ought to coexist, we bite at it, not realizing that is exactly what God said not to do. Now, again, we respect all men and live peaceably with all men if possible. But you do not you do not mix your Christian experience with any other religion, be it Buddhism, be it Islam, be it any other religion or any other stargazing or astrology or palm reading or any of this other nonsense. It's taboo for the Christian. I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. Now you can run out and look for something else, but the Lord is telling us right here, there's no other Savior. See, there's many of us here in this room today, perhaps grew up in church or had a relationship with church and then ran out into the world to see, let's see what else is happening, and found out nothing but bad. It was all bad, and thank God we had our senses to come back to God. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God amongst you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. This is every Christian needs to understand. We work for Jesus. He is our husband. We are the bride of Christ. I'm going to draw a picture now. What would you think about a bride of a man that was crawling from pillar to post with every other man in the neighborhood? Okay, maybe I didn't make it clear. What would you think about a woman who has a good husband? She is the bride of a good husband, but she's laying around in bed having sex with every other man in the neighborhood. What would you call such a woman? And yet we're married to Christ. And yet it's not beyond many Christians to engage and interact with other things that are contrary to the Lord. It's called spiritual adultery. James spoke about it. Paul spoke about it in the 7th chapter of Romans, that we're married to Christ and we're not to engage ourselves with any other false god or false ways. We are to be true and faithful to Jesus. Now, this has been the history of Israel from the time God took them out of Egypt. They had been slaves in Egypt for 400 years, and God brought them out in such a way that there could be no confusion that he was God. I mean, he brought a series of miracles upon Egypt that left that nation in absolute bankruptcy. And then right before Israel left the nation, he said, wait a minute. He said, go to all your neighbors and tell them to give you all their gold. And they went to their neighbors and said, hey, give me all your gold. They didn't have not a pistol amongst them, not a knife, a club, nothing. And Egypt gave them all of their gold. And then God said, go out into the wilderness. And the Pharaoh, at the last minute, he got angry and he sent his armies. I'm going to go devour Israel. And God opened up the Red Sea. And the Bible says they didn't walk across on mud. They walked across on dry land. And when the armies of Egypt tried to follow them, the walls of water closed in on them and killed them all. There could be no confusion that God brought them out. He had during the daytime, there was a pillar of fire that hung over their heads that led them. And when the sun went down, it was a pillar of smoke. And at night, when the sun went down, it turned into a pillar of fire. And that's how they knew where they were going. And he led them for 40 years like that. There could be no doubt. But as soon as they came out of the wilderness, they began to, just like the United States of America is doing, we have been the most blessed nation on the planet for most of our lifetimes. And just as Israel kept playing with other gods until finally God allowed the Babylonians and then the Assyrians and just caused nation after nation to take control of Egypt, right now we're losing our nation. Yes, yes. Other nations are just walking in and taking your schools from you. They've got states now saying, hey, let these other nations live in your house. And you hear my words. I'm not a prophet, but I'm telling you this is going to happen. You're going to find some of these people from other nations take Americans' homes from them. It's called squatting. It's mine now. What kind of a non-thinker do you have to be to let another family, including men, come into your house and sleep with your babies? Well, what is wrong with people? But yet we find what happened to Israel of old is happening to us. And we have kindled the anger of God. We have accepted first this homosexual thing. We've accepted this marriage amongst same-sex thing. We're in the process of accepting this transgender thing. We just eat it. And it's amongst Christians. That's where the problem is. Well, I just want to get along. Well, you need to just want to glorify God. You need to want to just say, no, God says no. See, it's one thing if they do it, but they need to do it above our objection to it. We find in Ezekiel chapter 16, God speaks to this thing concerning Israel, constantly going after other religions, constantly embedding themselves or embedding other religions in them. When Jezebel came into power, she married Ahab, and she was a princess. Her father was named Etherbaal. He was king of the Zidonians, and what they did was Baal worship. And so when she came into power, she began to strongly influence people to accept Baal and throw Jehovah out, and Israel did it. And understand something, I want to be very clear. That influence came from the government of that day, from the king and the queen of Israel. And the influence that you and I too many times are bowing down to is influence from the government. I don't care whether you like it or not, it's true. And what they are imposing upon us is evil and wicked and contrary too many times to this book. Why is there a question as to whether we would kill babies? Why is that even a question? And I'm not being political, I'm being moral. Why is it even a question as to whether two men should be married and adopt a little girl or a little boy? Why is that even a question? How many believe that should happen? No, that should not happen. That should never happen. Ezekiel says this in chapter 16, and I want to make sure I'm drawing the right line here. He says it to Israel of old, but he could just as well say it to the modern church of America. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and has increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. You see, when we do all of these things and we engage in all of this, God is not idle. He's not undisturbed by it. It provokes him to anger. See, we've lived so long with, you know, just go to Walmart and just buy another loaf of bread, another six-pack of drinks. But God is such a God that when he gets angry, he will cut off the food. Yes, he will. So I say, oh no, God is a God of love. He is God of love. He's also a jealous God. He says so in his word, I am a jealous God. And he doesn't want his people engaging with things that are an affront to him. He wants us all to himself. How many understand what I'm saying today? He goes on to say, verse 27, behold, therefore, he said, you provoked me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and I have diminished thine ordinary food. Is there any questions about that? What he's saying is that I will cut off your food supply. And listen, if if you have a good man, a husband loves his wife, but his wife, month after month, year after year, keeps laying around with every man in the neighborhood, at some point in time, he's going to turn off her credit card. Right? At some point in time, he's going to begin to withdraw his resources because he's not in agreement with that, and God is the same way. Listen to what he says. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee and have diminished thine ordinary food and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee. In other words, you want to deal, you want to, I'm trying to not get political. You want to embrace that? I will let them have you. And you'll find out they weren't what you thought they were. The daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Man, that's bad. You know, most of the nations think we're crazy in America because we've accepted and embraced the LGBTQ thing. I think it's Guyana or Ghana, one of the two. The leadership there, the government there said, no, there's no LGBTQ here. No, because we kill them. Now, I'm not promoting anybody. I'm not saying that's right. Everybody deserves respect and dignity. But there is a natural way that people live, and that's not it. Even if you go to Russia, Mr. Putin said, yeah, we don't have LGBTQ over here. Whatever you're doing, keep it in your bedroom. But when you bring it out into the public square, that's a problem. And that should be a problem here. And Christians should be at the front of the line saying, that's a problem. You can't do that. Because we have not said anything, we said, oh, well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Well, they came right into the school system and said, well, we want to teach your children about sex when they're five. Verse 26, thou hast played the whore. Also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. In other words, God has given the United States, we have the best of everything. We have the best houses. We have the best food. We have the best clothes. We have the best cars. We have the best economy, or we did until just recently. We have the best of everything. We have the best toothpaste. We have the best hair care products. We have the best of everything. But we've been insatiable. And we're always looking for someone else, for something else. And I'm reminded of the man that I met. Here you are. You're supposed to be a Christian. And yet you're promoting. And you're thinking, how glorious it is that my wife married to this Islamic man is she's going to get engaged in the work of Islam. Oh, praise the Lord. Thou fool. We bring destruction upon our own selves because let me tell you something, God's not putting up with that. And here's the bigger picture you need to see. Going back to the coexist thing where all the major nations of the world just come and peaceably coexist together, just blend together. What you need to understand is that is the body of the Antichrist. That one will stand up at some point and show that he is against the Messiah. He presents himself as a false Messiah, and he is anti-God, anti-Christ, and he will have everyone who went through the wide road will line up behind him to take the mark of the beast. Yeah, do you not see this playing out? Do you not see how this is playing out? Thou hast played the whore with the Assyrians because that was insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them that could not, because thou could not be satisfied. Saints, it's important for us to understand that God is long-suffering, but he's not forever suffering. He's very patient, but it does not mean that he won't launch into action. He was patient with Sodom and Gomorrah. But when he launched the action, it was horrific. I mean, he laid waste five cities of the plain. He laid all of them. He laid them waste. And so we certainly want to make sure that we get our lives right before God launches into action. Isaiah 47, let's take another look, because this is the heart of God concerning all that I'm talking about this morning. Beginning with verse 12, he says, "Stand now with thy enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth." Now understand what he's saying. He's saying people have embraced all these other things, be it religions or be it the dark arts or be it whatever it is, because all of it is a religion. Baphomet as a religion. It's the false idol that many of the Hollywood people and the elite worship. Stargazing, soothsaying, astrology, all of these are contrary to God. He calls it out right here, and we need to clean up our house. We need to clean up our thinking, then we need to clean up our house. "Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries wherein thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be, thou shalt be able to profit. If so be, thou shalt, that thou mayest prevail." What he's doing is saying, stand with who you trust. That's what he's saying. He's saying, if your trust is in Jesus Christ, stand with him. If you trust in all these other things that we have embraced, stand with them. He goes on to say, "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now thou astrologers and the stargazers and the monthly procrastinators stand up and save you from the things that shall come upon thee." In other words, he's telling Israel, I'm getting ready to bring judgment upon you. And the ones that you have stood with and that you have trusted, tell them to stand up and save you in the hour of my wrath. Now, he calls out some specific things here. Stargazers, that is astrology. That is the ones that look at the zodiac signs and say, because you're in this configuration, you were born in this configuration, that means that on this day, you're gonna have a wonderful day today. And they, listen, all over the nation, it's written in our newspapers. Many of us got an old ragged sweatshirt. I'm a Sagittarius. That's how much is embedded within our thinking. Oh, I'm a Leo. I'm not. I'm a Christian. I don't look to the stargazers. I don't look to them. You know how I know I'm going to be blessed? because I stand with the Lord. Just think about that. How many Sagittariuses could there be? Probably 1/12 of the nation's population, I would think. All of them's going to have a good day on the same day. It doesn't even make sense, but we mindlessly engage in it. And I'm here to say this morning, it's an offense. It's an offense to God. Soothsaying is one who foretells the future by ungodly means. Prognosticator is a fortune teller, is someone who reads your palm. I was thinking about this earlier. When I grew up, there was no such thing as palm readers. There was such a thing, but you couldn't go to the strip mall and see somebody open for business. I'm a palm reader. Come in and I'll read your palm. But now you can see it in almost every city. Some of them are not even strip malls. Some of them have their own building because they're making so much money they can afford to pay the mortgage on their own building to come in. What's mine say? You're a fool. But we do this thing. It's completely embedded within our society. It doesn't. We don't even double fake it to say what's going on. But yet God calls it out right here and says it's offensive. And if that's what you're going to trust it in the day of my wrath. The sorceries. You know, they have a group called the Wiccans. They're witches. That's their religion. They're witches. Now, there was a time nobody heard of them. They were in the back alleys, you know, out in the field somewhere doing whatever their nonsense is. But now they actually open prayer in some of our city's council meetings. And it's happened in Dallas that the opening prayer was by a Wiccan witch. Yes. Our whole government is reamed through with LGBTQ members. And we wonder, well, why would God be mad? Well, look at us. Well, what do I do? Come out from amongst them. First of all, get rid of that sweatshirt with Sagittarius on it. That's number one. And then come out from amongst them. Open your eyes. Get back in this book. See, we should all be able to see what's happening. All of us should have already been able to see what I'm talking about today, and I'm sure many of us have, but we need to clearly see why the wrath is falling on this nation, and it hadn't even begun yet. It hasn't even begun yet. I would tell you, if you have a house, learn to grow a garden. Bust up that grass in your backyard and learn how to grow a garden, because you're going to be eating your own food here after a while. Sorceries. You know, right now they have the Satanists are trying to get back into the schools, trying to get into the schools to have after school meetings with our children. The Satanic Temple, people from the Satanic Temple. Does anybody read the news? That's actually happening as we speak. And so we have to understand that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. We need to cast off these works of darkness, and we need to get clothed in the armor of light. You can no longer straddle the fence. You can no longer live in the pleasures of society and at the same time think that you're living with God. The word is coming forth to make a delineation, to make a bold line. This is in, that's out. God is angry with this. Finally, I have to close. Isaiah 45, verse 21. I'll just read this as I close. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Saints, we need to open our eyes and see what's happening in society. See how far this nation has fallen, and do not think that God will not let us hit the bottom. Please don't think that. Read your Old Testament and look what Israel went through. They went through 6 different captivities, beginning with Egypt, 6 different captivities, in some of which the actual people were deported from their own country into a strange land. And it was nothing but the grace of God that allowed that nation to come back together in 47. But all through their history, they have been under the judgment, and they're under the judgment of God right now. Why? Because they're Jewish people? No, no, no. Because they rejected Jesus Christ. Saints, I encourage you today. Spend more time in this book. Spend less time in the culture. Spend less time in the politics. Find out who Jesus is and find out what he desires of you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, we thank you today for this warning. We thank you today, O God, open up the eyes of our understanding. Lord, cause us to see what others do not see. Cause us to hear what others do not hear. And help us, Lord, by the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, that we would come out from amongst them, that we would separate ourselves from this world and all of its ridiculousness, all of its evil, all of its anti-Christian sentiment. Help us to unplug ourselves, Father. Come on, would you stand to your feet all across the room? Let's just go to the Lord. Let's just ask him to open our eyes that we can see what's going on in this nation. Father, we just come to you right now, Lord. We're but sheep, not highly intelligent, and we need the great shepherd. Lord, we need you to lead us in the right way. Lead us beside the still waters. Lord, help us, oh God, not to be so easily deceived by the wiles of the devil. Help us not to be ignorant of his deceits. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. You ask him to give you wisdom, to give your family wisdom. God, open my eyes that I might see. Help me, Lord, not to be deceived in this awful hour that we find ourselves in. God, have mercy. Have mercy upon me and upon my house. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning.
Father, we thank you so much. You told us in your word that if we ask for your wisdom, that you would give it to us liberally. Father God, we ask for your wisdom in this hour, in this time. We need you. We need you, Father. We need your guidance. We thank you for your continued grace and mercy upon our lives, Lord God, but continue to draw us closer and closer to you. Continue to draw us back to our first love, your word. Your word is truth, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Continue to help us, Lord. We need you. Help us to stand strong in these times, Lord God. Help us to be confident in who it is that we trust, who it is that we know. Continue, Father, to guide us and show us your hand of glory and your victory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We want to thank you for being with us, our online guest. We really appreciate it. If you haven't had a chance to give today, please do so. As you know that there are multiple ways to give. We appreciate the word of God coming forth. I believe we all heard the voice of the Lord this morning through Pastor Lincoln. So let's stay firm in our approach to God, because his word is faithful. It's powerful. It's living. And I can't wait till the kingdom come. I'm waiting for it. And I want to be waiting for it with you all. We appreciate you coming out this morning. And we hope you have a wonderful day and a wonderful week. In the name of Jesus, amen. You're dismissed.